Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Time was, there was only one way of conducting research on the human body, and that was using the human body. Not now. Now we have computer models of major body systems, and some of the most important work in that line is being done at the Auckland Bioengineering Institute by Associate Professor Merin Tarfine, whose specialty is modelling the lung. Welcome, Merin.
Thanks.
Now, how does one start building a computer anatomical model? Because I'm taking a wild guess and assuming it's complicated.
It is pretty complicated, and that means that from some quarters we get criticisms about how complicated it is, but really to understand the lung, it's exactly what we need.
What's the data that goes into it? How do you actually build the model?
So we take medical imaging, so specifically computed tomography imaging. You know, when people go into the hospital for certain clinical diagnosis, then they will have a CT scan. And that actually gives us very good definition of the anatomical structures in the lung. So I collaborate with the leading research group in pulmonary CT imaging in the States, led by Eric Hoffman. And through that collaboration, we have access to on the order of about 400 normal patients, well, sorry, normal volunteers, not patients, who are taking part in a study where we're building up a description of the anatomy of their lungs. So through medical imaging advances in that field, we now are getting fantastic understanding of the structure of human and animal lungs, and that really forms the basis of how we describe our mathematical models. So,
because the step, you know, your first step is getting the scan, which is like a 3D picture, and then the next step is describing it in detail. Am I right?
That's right. So we can use mathematics and computing and sort of traditional engineering techniques to describe the geometry of anything in detail. So this is not unique to the work that we do in computational physiology. So mathematically, anything can be described in space, and so we're essentially doing the same thing with the lungs. But what we can also do is then create a nice sort of rendering of that on a computer screen that you know, really conveys what our models are structurally.
Is that just eye candy, that nice model, or does it actually fulfil a purpose?
It's great eye candy, so it really is attention grabbing at when you're presenting these things at conferences, and I think a 2D picture speaks 1,000 words, and a 3D picture speaks 1,000,000. But these, what you see as a picture, is far more than just a cartoon or a replica of somebody's lung. It's something we can then solve equations within to predict some function, and so the main purpose of these sort of mathematical models is really to provide a testing ground in which you can then really understand what has been going on in experiments. Or just, you know, providing you an encapsulation of clinical observations. So things that you might observe on 100 or so different patients, but there's not necessarily an emerging pattern. And so we can test these things in our models to see whether there is just some very basic sort of very basic explanation for some of the things that we see. And so the models have been able to give us new insight that's not able to be obtained through just repeated experiments alone.
I take it the models that you're building are 2D are static models, not 3D. They're 3D, obviously. They're static models. They're not pulsing, moving parts. How are there moves afoot to start to make them? Obviously, there's blood flow. There's air going in and out of the lungs. How useful would it be to be able to model that as well?
Well, that's exactly what we do model.
Oh, you are? So they are moving? They're animated?
Well, they are deforming. So, again, returning back to engineering theory, we model the mechanical properties of the lung tissue, and that's really difficult information to get experimentally, so we're having to take a bit of a guess at how the lung tissue actually does behave. But we predict using the models how the lung tissue deforms under gravity, because it's very deformable. And then that's important for then where the air goes to inside the lung when you start to breathe. And if you have lung disease such as emphysema, which develops predominantly due to smoking, that will change the compliance of the lung tissue. It becomes very easy to expand, which is actually a bad thing when it comes to breathing out. So those are sorts of things that can be put into the model, and that can be done on a subject-by-subject basis. So we get the CT imaging of people with emphysema, put the sort of distributions of emphysema into the models, and then predict the ventilation distribution. New work is sort of aimed at predicting the distribution of inhaled drug and also the blood flow. So we do have dynamic models for blood flow, and that's work in collaboration with Kelly Burrows at the University of Oxford and local clinicians at the ADHB.
What's the bit where the rubber meets the road? I mean, as Russell said, it's great eye candy. You can look at these things and you can see what's going on. Is it having an impact on the way that we treat these illnesses? Or is it still too early for that?
If you asked a physicist who was involved in the development of something like CT imaging when that first started, somebody who was in a university doing basic science research, what impact will this have? Well, it's very difficult to define at that stage. And so for some of our work, that is where it's at, and that's really where it should stay, that we're just adding new insight, we're adding new knowledge to the scientific field. Other parts will have direct clinical impact. For example, in a pilot project that we have looking at predicting the impact of radiation therapy for lung cancer, there are difficult decisions that clinicians have to make about treatment. So some people won't tolerate radiation of a lung tumour because their lung function is already very bad because they may have been a lifelong smoker. And so with the lung models, the hope is that we can use these as part of the treatment planning process to predict, well, who would actually be able to maintain lung function following treatment. So that, if successful, would have a significant impact.
Do other researchers have access to your lung model?
Well, we would do work with a large group of people, many collaborations overseas. We really emphasise model sharing, but primarily that has been through publications. So again, people using the sort of techniques that we publish and make available. Through the Lung Atlas project with the University of Iowa, we're trying to make, you know, get our models and our data in a format that we can then make available to the scientific community. But at the moment, it's really just people contacting me directly, and then I can provide them with
and
the models.
And it's part of the International Physiome project. Can you tell me about that?
Well, Peter Hunter, the director of the Auckland Bioengineering Institute, has been instrumental in the development and continued effort in the Physiome project. So that is the Physiome project. If you think about the Genome project, which people are more familiar with, that sort of told us, you know, gave us a lot of data about a lot of very precise information, but we don't really know how to use it. So we can think of the Physiome project as trying to bring together not necessarily genetic information, but proteins, sort of building up from these sort of little fine-scale bits of information, building up into something that is more predictive of physiology, large-scale, more useful sort of models. So the Physiome project itself is databasing and developing tools to do with all aspects of physiology.
And the idea is to get a comprehensive model of the human body eventually?
Yes, but not there shouldn't be this view that there will be one grand model. You know, things don't really work that way. What's important is to understand how, when we have different models of, say, heart or lung, how things interact, that we can take one model with a lot of detail, like the cardiac work that's being done at the Institute, that if that is our area of interest, that we have a very well-documented, well-supported model, lots of data to support it, and then that we know how to simplify interactions with the lungs, and vice versa, that if we have a detailed model of lung, how can we simplify things to do with the heart?
Well, it's fascinating. Congratulations on the work, and keep doing it, Meryn. Thank you for coming in.
I will. Thank you.
Meryn Tafoe there, and that's our show for this week. If you'd like to hear anything that's been in this show or past shows, pop along to our podcast at publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Russell Brown.
And I've been Damien Christie. Thanks, New Zealand On Air.